This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. If you would like to contact me, again, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We will also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there, as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. If you want to be on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, again, you'll need my address so that you can send me yours and I'll send it on to them. So you may need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Today I want to look at a passage in Luke having to do with what we call the parable of the sower. And it really has to do with how we have responded to the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop a hundredfold." When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so the question is, are we willing to listen to what the Lord has to say? "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then the disciples asked him, saying, "What does the parable mean?" They thought they had ears to hear, but they didn't understand what he was saying. And he said, "To you it may be given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." That's a quote from Isaiah 6. It's one of the most quoted passages in the Old Testament. It's one of the most quoted Old Testament passages in the New Testament. And the idea is that no matter how hard we try to make people understand the Word of God, they are going to be hard of hearing, and they're going to be blind. It is given in parables so that those who really don't want to understand don't have to understand, I think, is the idea. It's not that the Lord is going to withhold it from them, but there are people who are going to argue with the Word of God, and when they argue with the Word of God, and when they want an excuse for not believing the Word of God, then of them it is said that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, since they've asked what the parable means, the Lord says, now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. So now we know that when we read the Bible, when we preach the Bible, we're planting the seed of the Word of God. And we have confidence in that seed because we know from Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know from the Old Testament that the Lord has said that His Word will not return unto Him void or empty, but it will accomplish that whereto He has sent it. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when we sow the seed of the Word of God, we are sowing good seed. But as we look at the way the seed is sown and its response, when we look at the response to that seed, in the first case, we have people who have been attacked by Satan himself. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. It's unfortunate that there are those who not only do not believe the Word of God, but they are tools of Satan in trying to convince others not to believe the Word of God. We have to confess that our secular universities of higher learning are taking that position today. One of the things they often do with our young people is, in the name of education and in the name of trying to get them to think for themselves, they attack the faith that they came to college with. And so they're taught that science is more reliable than the Word of God. And they're taught that only people who are mentally incapacitated or mentally deficient really believe the Bible. They show them that the Bible is, in their opinion, not really reliable. Now, I can take that same Bible and show reasons why I believe it is reliable. And I can show reasons why it's the intelligent person that believes the Word of God. I can show that the Bible is more reliable than science if the Bible is properly interpreted and if science is properly handled. Science requires faith as well, and many things that science told us was true years ago turns out that it's a different story today. It's different truth today. That's not true about everything. I'm a believer in science properly used, but I'm more of a believer in the Bible properly used. But there are those who don't believe the Bible, and they do their best to use science, to use philosophy, and even hypocrisy to convince people that what they're hearing from the Bible is undependable, unworkable, and only for those who are unenlightened. And so the devil comes along and he plants doubt in their mind, and then he uses people to remove the truth of the good seed of the Word of God from their mind. And so it turns out that these people do not believe and they are not saved. They've been robbed of a right that God has given them. When Christ died at the cross, he gave all men the right to be saved. And yet when Satan comes along and says, yea, hath God said, when men come along and say, you can't believe the Bible, and they have degrees after their name, when friends come along and say, if you believe that, you're going to lose your friends, it's clear that Satan is making the attack through people, and he takes the word from their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Friend, I warn you, make sure you believe God and not man. It's God, after all, who created us. It's God, after all, who sent his son to die for us. And it's God, after all, that we're going to meet in a soon coming day. Now we come to the next class of people, and it says the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. This always bothered me for a long time, because the Bible says that if we believe, we're saved. But the word believe in the Bible is used in different ways. And we know that the devils believe and tremble, but they aren't saved. That is, the angelic host that has fallen. They believe and tremble, but they can't be saved. They can believe about it, they can know the truth of it, but they can't trust in it. And here's a class of people who have believed, but they have not really trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe for a while. I call these people the people that sign up because it sounds like it's a good thing. When we look at this kind of a people, they may have heard the prosperity gospel. They may have been taught that if they believe on the Lord, they're going to have wealth, that they are going to have health, that their marriages are going to prosper, that their kids are going to obey them and honor them, that there's going to be no problems in life. And that is the last thing we hear in the Bible. That's the last thing that we have taught to us in the Bible. We're told that if the Lord was persecuted, his disciples are going to be persecuted. If the Lord could have if he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills and yet had no place to lay his head, had one suit of clothes that seemed to be the only thing he owned when he was crucified, why would we expect prosperity in a physical way when we trust in the Lord? Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord hasn't made many Christians prosperous, but that's not the purpose of the gospel, and that certainly has never enhanced the preaching of the gospel. And so as we look at these kinds of people, they're sort of taught, it seems to me, that there's a good reason to sign up. Friends have signed up, others have signed up, and so they sign up. And when I say they sign up, they make an intellectual commitment to follow the Lord, but they've never repented and believed. And so when we look at these people, when temptation comes, they fall away. Temptation would be trial. When all of a sudden they find out that being a Christian is not an easy path down here, because if Christ himself is not well accepted by the population. And to be a Christian is not going to make you popular and wealthy and all the things they've been taught, then they fall away. Is that how we've listened? Have we just signed up because our friends are Christians and because we think we'll prosper if we're Christians? I hope not. That's not true Christianity, but that's the way some people listen to the gospel, and that's the way some people preach it. Then we have the ones who, it says in verse 14, the word of God fell among thorns. And these are those who, when they have heard, go out and are, choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And so, when the word of God is preached, people may say, yeah, someday I want to consider that, but right now I don't want it to interfere with my life. I've got a plans. I want to make my $1 million. I want to play my golf. I want to play my tennis. I want to go to my ball games. I want to go to the dances. I want to go to the places of entertainment, and I don't want anything to interfere with my enjoying life. And so the riches, the pleasures, they choke the word of God. It keeps it from bearing fruit and coming to maturity. And those kind of people are sort of like ones we see in the Bible who say that someday when they have a convenient season, I think it was King Agrippa that said it, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. It was either King Agrippa or Festus in the Acts of the Apostle who said that. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But folks, when it comes to a convenient season, Satan always makes sure there's another pleasure, there's another goal in life that we should obtain, more riches, another house that need to be taken care of right now, and we keep putting off the issue of our soul's salvation until we have lost our soul, if we are one of these people that are more occupied with this life than with the next. And then there's the people who respond properly. There are no problems. These are the ones where the gospel fell on good ground, and these are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, there are people who, when they hear the word of God, they don't let others talk them out of it. They don't just sign on because it's a good thing. They don't let the cares and the riches of this world get in the way. But what they do is they come to the word of God in an honest way and they say, I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I don't need the Bible to tell me I'm a sinner because I don't meet my own standards, let alone meeting the standards of God. And then they find out from the Word of God that Christ died for sinners, and they trust in that, and they are saved, and they are blessed for eternity. That's the good ground. 75% of the people are going to miss out on it because Satan knows how to manipulate them, and there's going to be maybe 25% that respond to the truth of the gospel and repent and believe and are saved. I hope you're amongst the few that have repented and believed and are saved. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon our listeners. We trust that the word spoken will fall on good ground. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.